Well, welcome to the show, Charles, and thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure being with you guys.
All right. Well, you know, whether we're listening to you perform live or recorded on an album, your playing is incredibly multi-layered. So I'm really intrigued to know, when did you first pick up the guitar, and who are some of the artists that influenced your playing?
You know, I didn't pick up the guitar until relatively late. I must have been like 17 or 18 at the time. I wanted a guitar in my early years, but, you know, it's just distraction. I never really got around to it, and my parents never really pushed the issue. So, like 17, 18, I just got one. Like, I had a friend who had one, and I got it, and got, like, you know, picture book of chords, and just built it from scratch, and then a bunch of other friends too started at the same time, and we would just spend time with each other because it was, you know, it's fun. It came from a place of fun, and built on it. I mean, even to this day, though, like I still suffer from the self-taught. You know, like I have issues that come from being self-taught. Or when I'm on a bandstand with a bunch of new musicians, and I don't know my way around, I'm a little nervous, like, you know, to know, like, what's everybody doing, like, to change the key, like, on the spot, you know, or something like that. I need to think about it, whereas some of the people I play with is just totally natural, but when it comes to Roots Underground, I know how to deal with Roots Underground very well. Guitarist that I love, so, like, one of my big influences that I really just love his playing is John Frusciante from the Chili Peppers.
Nice.
I really like him a lot. And I really like Stephen Catcore from Third World. Another big influence. He's super wicked. Cause, you know, like when it comes to reggae, you know, you have a lot of great lead guitar players, but there's just something about the timing of reggae that it needs to be like unperfect. It's a little off. It just don't sound right. And a lot of guitarists just can't do it. So.
There's just something about your playing. You know, when I listen to other bands that, you know, other reggae bands, they almost seem they're playing the same chords. But in all the times I've seen you, there's something unique about, and I don't know if it's your picking style or what, there's something that is different about you that you've put your fingerprint on that when you hear Roots Underground, you can tell immediately it's Roots Underground.
You know, it's funny to say, because when I listen to our music to it, I can hear that there's a difference in the guitar work. I don't know why. I think it's just the personality of myself and Jeffrey and how we come together and do what we do. How I hear it in my head or how it comes off or my fingers or his fingers together. That just has that sound. It's random. We definitely haven't figured out why.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about your current release, Gravity, and where did you guys record that album?
All right, Gravity is a project that we've done with our very good friend Rory Gilligan of Stone Love Sound. Stone Love is a very famous sound system in Jamaica, and Rory is the first of the rock star selectors. Like, a selector in Jamaica is like what you call a DJ everywhere else, you know? Mm-hmm. And Rory just having that like tenure in the dance hall, when the band starts coming on again, we were probably like the first band in this wave of bands. We have about a 10-year head start. There was a time where there just wasn't much bands that Rory wanted to be involved, and it's coming together of us as a band, Rory as a sound system man, and that common ground, you know, Gravity. It's a very raw album. You know, we really went all out on it, and there's a lot of layers to Gravity.
Now,
it's very different from Movement, and it's also very different from our upcoming album, which reached the summer, Return of the Righteous.
Nice.
But it's Roots Underground, so it's us.
Well, that's kind of what I was going to in the last question. What I like about you guys is, you know, like the Beatles, you guys are always expanding, and we can always expect something different from you, yet it's Roots Underground.
The I guess that's true. I never really thought that the Beatles comprised of Steven would love that, because the Beatles are his favorite band ever. Well, he'd be thrilled. Well, I mean, we're growing as musicians, and you know, a lot of us are self-taught musicians. Most of us are self-taught musicians. So as our understanding of music grows, and as our we start kind of looking at the music from roots on the ground as producers of the music, as opposed to, well, it's my, I have to play it because I'm in the band, and, you know, even though I can't hear a part, I must stamp it because I'm it's not that way anymore. You know, so like, I can hear a song now and think, well, I'm just going to play something really simple in it because that's what the song calls for. Whereas a few years ago, maybe I wasn't secure enough in myself to do that, you know. So as time goes by, we approach the music in a more mature fashion, and it goes to the sound, it changes the sound.
It's brilliant, and it's always fun to see what your new project's going to be. Well, tell me a little bit about your songwriting style. You know, where do you get inspiration, and do you write any of the words or just the music?
It depends. We have many different ways in which songs come out of the band. Inspiration. Sometimes, a lot of the time, Steven, who also is a guitarist, will come to rehearsal and he'll be like, hey, you know, I've been fiddling around with this, or how does this sound, guys? And he'll play it, and then Paul, the keyboard player, would be like, yeah, why don't we move it this way? And why are you fixed on this? Or we could go this way with it. And everybody's very open-minded, so you know, the song will take shape, or someone says, you know, why would you say it that way? Why wouldn't we say it this way? You know, so the band will approach it that way. Or, a lot of the times, it'll just come out of a jam session, you know? You know, you go to your rehearsal, fine, you're playing the song, you're setting the song, fine. You're going to go on stage, it's going to be, this is the framework. I mean, it's always going to go a little bit different, but this is the framework of the song. And then after we do that, we're just going to have fun playing music. And sometimes a song just comes out of
us. Very cool.
It's a one set formula, and it comes in different ways.
All right. Well, besides yourself, who are some of the other members of Roots Underground?
There's Steven Newlon, who's the lead singer. Paul Smith, keyboard. There's keyboards. And he's also our musical director on stage for sure. Colin Young, bass player. Leon Campbell is our drummer, and he's an exceptional drummer. He's grown probably more than any of us in the show at this time. And then there's Jeffrey Masala, who's on rhythm guitar. And I mean, this is the form of the band that everyone's very familiar with when we tour. It's the six of us. In the past, it's the six of us, but in Jamaica, it's really 11 of us on stage.
Really?
And we're gonna be touring more as the 11 of us, because with the recordings, it's gotten to a place where we cannot really reproduce it in an honest way to the fan without having a horn section, which is three more people, or percussion. I mean, reggae needs percussion. Yasmin Brown, who sings back up with Steven and Jeffrey and Paul Smith now, and Omar Francis, who is yet another guitarist, and I have to say a better guitarist than myself or Jeffrey in certain ways, you know. But it's just gotten to that place now where, you know, in the recording there'll be more guitar tracks than I have hands, so you need the other guitarists to be there to really like allow us to do like harmonies or build things or take people in a different place. So yeah, right now it's 11 of us on stage.
Now,
big festival for sure, 11 of us will be there.
Now, are you guys going to try to roll that through America with 11 of you?
Absolutely. I mean, right now in Europe, it's 11 of us every time because, you know, I guess our profile is a little bit different in Europe than it is in America. But this summer for sure, and with the release of Return of the Righteous, the band is going to be a lot bigger.
Wow, that's exciting. That is exciting.
Yeah, because you know the difference is, it's a difference is, like, listening to an MP3 or listening to a vinyl record. Like, when,
right.
when the horn section is there, that's Rhino. When it's just us, it's LPG. It's a great vibe. You can have a great party. But the fullness of the sound is there. There's no way to really sound the horns and really make it sound like three human beings. Now, give thanks, man. Trust me, we've been mashing up Jamaica with it now for the last year. So we're looking forward to bringing that on the road. Like, whenever the other five musicians are out there, I almost feel like it's too empty. It's the same music, you know, it's the same music. Like, you know, how we would normally do it if we had to, you know, because we write the music with hearts. So if you know, Riverstone has a horn line, we would go into the recordings, the Pro Tools session, and we would take the recordings, the actual recordings of the horns, and in rehearsal, we play with the horns as a sample, which, you know, Leon would trigger the sample as a drummer. So it's the same music that you're hearing. The difference is just the fidelity and that human touch, as well as being able to step outside of what's the recording and just take people in a place maybe they didn't expect to go, but they're delighted to go with us, you know, or just take them somewhere new.
Fantastic. All right, well, as someone who grew up on MTV in the 1980s, I really enjoy that, you know, unlike most other artists, you guys actually make old school videos. And I want to ask you about one in particular. Can you share any memories of making Rain?
Rain was a lot of fun to make. We like to do, you know, we're not actors or anything like that. So what we like to do is, you know, when we're brainstorming in the tour bus or we're laughing and joking, we think about a concept. We say, well, you know, ideas are great, but you need to be able to deliver them, you know, in the way that you see them. So we bring things to a level that we know we can achieve. So the whole concept of Rain was just so big that we're like, there's no way we're going to be able to do this huge budget video. So we brought it to a level where it was fun and playful, but we could still do it and involved everybody in a really fun project. You know, Rain in Jamaica right now, well, I mean, in the States too, you know, but in Jamaica, these like singing with the Stars kind of, you know, shows are really big, you know, like our competition for who's the best singer. Uh-huh. Jamaica love a big singer, you know. So the band is not necessarily like that. So in the video, we do a spoof on it where we hijack one of these shows and play our own music instead. And Sharita Lewis, who is songstress, who is singing the duet with Fionn, she pretends to just be going along with the song at the time. And it's just a very playful video. It took us a couple of days to shoot, but a lot of time to turn out.
Well, the fun you're saying you guys had making it really transfers over into watching it.
Yeah. Every time I watch it again, I have to laugh, you know.
All right. Well, when we see you live on this tour this summer, can you tell us about some of the equipment you'll be using?
Oh, that's, definitely. I've started using Trainer amplifiers from Canada, and I'm really enjoying them. I should record in Return of the Righteous using one. And, guitar-wise, it's just the tone that when I hear it right now, it sounds like a nice ringing bell in my ear. So I don't know really how to describe it in the way that other people do, but, you know, you'll definitely hear it on stage. We've been also experimenting with a lot of electronic sounds in a very organic way. You know, like when you listen to reggae in the 80s, it had a lot of electronic in it, you know, but it was just because of the root of the bass and the drum, it just sounds like it's just a fun sound, you know. Well, you know, I myself, I love electronic music, you know, not the super poppy, annoying bubblegum style, but, you know, the more sophisticated grown folk business. And we try to, like, employ that, you know, with the band, to have that edge, you know, like when you hear certain sounds, certain frequencies, it just excites you in a certain way. So, you know, on stage now we have our computers and our MIDI controllers and, you know, Ableton Live triggering different scenes that, you know, work within the band's format and like what we're doing. And know, we'll see how it goes. It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Are you ever get nervous to walk out on stage?
Yes. Yeah, I do actually. Whenever I don't feel like I rehearsed enough, and I'm not sure of changes that the band is going to make, I will personally get a little bit withdrawn. You know, if it's six of us, of course, you're accustomed to the six of us, I'll get even more withdrawn. I mean, when there's 11 of us on stage, sometimes you can kind of sit back and rely on everybody else to fill the gaps. But when it's six of you and like there's a lot of guitar parts and you're really going for it, I'll get nervous. When the band is, I feel comfortable with the band, and when I know everyone else is feeling comfortable and when everyone's grooving, we're playing a lot of shows, then no way am I going to feel nervous. That's one time. Another time I feel nervous is, you know, when we play some shows in Jamaica and it's, you know, 60% of the audience are musicians, then I'll get anxious is more the word, not really nervous, I'll get anxious, you know, because, you know, it's fine for the world to love you, but you also want your colleagues to respect what you're doing, you know, so there might be three people in an audience of 3,000, and those three people are the ones that make me feel anxious, as opposed to the other 2,997.
Well, I imagine that's the same when you play a festival, depending on who's before you or after you.
Not so much. Like, I have a lot of confidence in my band's music and our ability to connect to the mood, to the inspiration of everybody and get everybody locked in. In 13 years of playing music, I've never seen us not win over a crowd. What other people are doing, what other musicians are doing, that's great, but that doesn't bother me, you know, like, when we go and open for other artists, say we're going on a tour and we're opening for, a good example is we're going to go home for our good friend Soja very soon, right? When people come to a show that's in a place where they don't really know Roots Underground, Roots is opening for Soja, they're coming because they want to see Soja, you know, so when we play, you know, I don't expect the same reaction as when the band they came to see and they know all the songs already played. But I don't feel nervous at all. I'm very confident that they're also going to like us. And you can see it in their face. Like when they're on stage, you look down, everybody's looking back at you. You can see in their eye, you know what's going on.
Well, describe for me the feeling when you walk out on stage and we, the audience, just, you know, send that roar of excitement to you. What does that feel like?
It feels like everything is in tune. You know, that's what I want to do. And I'm excited to be fulfilling that purpose that the Most High has given to me. And in the music, in the world of music, you know, there's a lot of things that are constantly getting in your way to distract you from the thing that makes you want to be a musician in the first place, which is actually playing music and connecting to people who appreciate your music, and sending a positive message, which is really the main thing you need to be doing. So when I'm in a position where we've been working really hard for a tour, all the prep work has gone into it, all the rehearsal, all the advancing of shows and the interviews and the calling and the logistics and whatever, and the plane and the traveling and everything, and you get to the stage, that's when everything is no time to happen. And that's what you've been working the whole time for. So a sense of fulfillment and gratitude also to God to be place in that position, and with it, you know, if it's on the right path, I would imagine a certain sense of humility.
Well, when did you, you know, from first learning to play the guitar to forming Roots, when did it first hit you that you guys were really onto something here?
When we started, like I said, it was a time in Jamaica's musical history where reggae bands were almost non-existent. in Kingston, there was nowhere to play as a band. You know, if you're, it's a sound system, a DJ, but no, there's no more live music. People come to visit us in Jamaica, hey, I want to go and hear some music. There's nowhere to tell them. You have to drive 6 hours to the Grill Beach to go and let them hear live music. Unless, of course, it's like some fest or a big festival or whatever. So, what we would do is we would throw underground parties and play as a band there. So everybody that came was very open-minded. They knew why they were there. And we kind of built it up from the ground in that way. And there was a venue in Kingston at the time called the Village Cafe. And we used to play at the Village Cafe every so often. We started selling out the Village Cafe. And there was one show before we signed our first management agreement that was completely sold out. Parking lot was sold out, everything. I mean, people were even down in the parking lot, because it's like upstairs. It was a great time, and everybody, you know, like, knew the music, and we didn't even have an album at this time. People knew it because they were coming to shows. I think at that point is when, you know, I turned to them and I said, boy, guys, you know, I just don't see how it wouldn't work. people like it, you know, and we all made the commitment at that time to, you know, go, you know, ignore all the other opportunities that were laid in front of us and focus on this opportunity. And it's been a very challenging road, but I'm very glad that we did that and managed to weather all the challenges so far.
It's a rough business, isn't it?
It's a very, very rough business. I love music. I don't really love the music business. You know, if I could just, if it was like, I imagine, maybe I'm fantasizing, but like, if it was 1992, which is probably like the end of the golden years, and you could just, you're selling records and, you know, your bills were met, and there were managers out there and labels out there that were supporting, and I just think that must have been amazing. Right now, you have to go, and, you know, you have to know as a musician every single aspect of the business, and you have to be involved, or it's just not going to happen.
And have you kind of trial by error? Is that how you guys kind of learned it?
Initially, we had so much gusto and, you know, high, you know, energy within ourselves that we just did whatever we thought, you know, on an underground level was right. And in those years, it worked for us. It got us to where we are today at that time. As we became more professional, we started looking more at what was industry standard or what was expected of us, and it became more challenging then. However, we needed to do that. You know, we needed to do that. We continued to do that because, I mean, a lot of people have to be on your side. It's a business. You know, it makes me respect pretty much every musician that's touring. You know, like, I might not be into your music. I might not get what you're trying to, you know, the message you're trying to send to the people. But the fact that you're out here doing it, I have a lot of respect for you because it is not easy and the sacrifices are great. You know, everybody thinks when you're a tour musician that you're on a paid vacation, and that's not true. Right? I'm advised to any musician who's experiencing that. Maybe his girl or his family thinks that he's on paid vacation. Let them come on a tour and see how fast they beg to fly home.
Well, I think also, too, people have the fantasy that they've seen your video or they've seen you in a magazine, that you have that Madonna, Bruce Springsteen kind of money and backing behind
yes.
you.
Yes. No, it's not that way.
All right.
It's not that way.
Well,
you really have to go out there and make the thing pop. But a lot of bands are doing it, you know, so... You know, all we really need is to fill in the dots and everything should be all right.
All right, well, for the kids who are seeing you for the first time, as well as your hardcore fans, how do you go about making these songs that you guys have performed hundreds of times sound fresh and new each night?
You know, I'll tell you personally, I'm a fan of Roots on the Ground. Like, I'll have, when the new album comes out, I have this thing where I don't listen to it while it's being mixed. When it's finished, the whole thing is finished, I start listening. Right? And I'll have the new album in my car, like, a year straight. Like, I enjoy it. Like, after every show, I listen to the recording, and we listen to it, and, oh, damn, man, that's wicked, or we should do that. But I think with us, you know, we're not one of those bands that, like, the exact note-for-note way that you heard it on the recording is exactly how we're going to reproduce it for you. It's not that way, you know. We're very jam band oriented, and we like to take the music, yes, but, you know, of course, and do unique things on it, like unique endings and starts. And so there's always rehearsal, you know, like, how are we going to do this one? What are we moving to? Like, as well, you know, we deal with the show like it's a DJ selecting at a nightclub. Like, just because this is supposed to be the set doesn't mean that we're going to play it like that. Like, you know, Paul is going to look down and he's going to be like, okay, this audience, I was going to play this song after, but this audience needs this song. And he'll just call and change in the middle of the show. You know, so we try to keep ourselves on our toes. And I mean, I like the music, so, you know, we try not to get too fixed on, you know, what exactly how we're going to play it. Or, you know, it's also on a spiritual level. And a lot of them, there's no song that we play that isn't a message that we're trying to send. So, sending the message again, solidifying that the message has been sent, or playing a message for you for the first time, is our job. That's why the Most High gives us this opportunity, you know? So, doing my job gives me a lot of pleasure, and it's always fresh.
So if we see you a couple of nights in a row, then we get different tunes. You guys do not have a firm set list?
The song that we're going to play, you know, like, we're going to play the single for you, the latest single. I want you to hear. We're trying to make you hear this. We're pushing this. But, you know, if you hear the band a couple of nights in a row, you're not going to hear the exact same set.
Fantastic.
You know, you're not going to hear the exact same set. And I mean, definitely not play the exact same way. And sometimes we just, you know, do different things. You know, in rehearsal, you construct it so that when you're on stage, you can deconstruct it. Everybody will always know what to do next. No one will ever fumble because we know what the framework is, but that doesn't mean we have to stick to it.
All right. Well, can you tell the listeners a little bit about the Roots Relief Project?
It would be my pleasure to tell the listeners about the Roots Project. The Roots Relief Project is an environmental awareness program that the band started in 2009. And initially, we asked our fans and friends to plant trees, which we tagged on a Google Earth matrix, in the form of votes, in a way. So after having, you know, several hundred trees planted in a certain area, we could go to environmental bodies and direct them for, you know, charity work or planting program like machines, etc., etc., etc. Since 2009 to now, we have planted in excess of 150,000 trees.
Wow.
That doesn't mean we planted them and then we just ran off and left them. You know, like, trees that we can account for that are there, that somebody waters those trees. In Jamaica, there are different arms to the Root Relief Project, which one is a school environmental club where the band in Jamaica has about 50 schools that we've taken and we've gathered corporate sponsorship to be able to have the schools compete for certain environmental points. And of course, the school that wins, you know, gets, you know, the computer lab, etc., 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 to create an awareness for the young Jamaicans as they grow, you know, up, you know. Somebody needs to let them know just the value of Jamaica, because it's a great place in the world on that level. We also have a concert series called the Roots Research, which, again, is a center for all of the up-and-coming bands in Jamaica to perform. You know, last year we had pretty much all the premier bands that are coming out of Jamaica, you know, Chronic, Rage and Fire, Sharp, the Blueprint Band, Toots and the Maytals. They're not new, of course, but we all got foundation acts, Louis Culture, Pinchers, you know, the list goes on, you know, and we had this wholesome festival, and, you know, at the end you get information about, you know, the environment, you get trees to take home and plant the project, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, as we're coming on right now, it's just, we're very focused on it. As we travel, we get to see this destruction that, you know, man has wrought on the planet. That planting trees is not a new concept. It's like, okay, but it's a revolutionary idea. You need to plant a tree. Like, the whole is possible, but it's a message that still needs someone standing up behind it. And there's lots of people standing up behind it. And I'm proud to say that our fan base has, you know, been very supportive and helped us to achieve what we've achieved so far. It's just a good vibe, you know. We have a loud voice. People are listening to us, so I mean, why not tell them, direct them in a positive way?
Fantastic. Well, in closing, Charles, is there anything you'd like to tell our listeners?
Absolutely. I would like you to go and like us on Facebook, because in the past, we never ever said that to people. But now that the band is really getting out there and we're trying to communicate with you more, we want to know what you're thinking, and it's a great forum. You know, we want to be able to let you know music that's coming out, the shows that we're playing, without having to be bombarding you all over the place. You know, also follow us on Instagram, because I really enjoy it, and it's the one that I get the most excited about, because I like posting pictures of, you know, of us traveling everywhere we go, and, you know, it's been a lot of fun for me, so do that for me. And then lastly, Return of the Righteous. You know, it's our third studio album, our fifth album in all, right? It comes out this summer, and we're really, really excited about it, because it has a lot of the songs that we wrote at the same at the time we wrote our first album, but we just never had the musical ability to express those songs in the right way. We have now come and made those songs now with all of the knowledge we've gained from all these years of touring. But it has that youthful vibrance from when we were